Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So will the Chinese EV maker BYD's new 5-minute battery and charger move the dial for electric cars right around the world? Well, the transition from petrol to diesel has been slower than predicted, and unreliable, patchy public charging infrastructure is one of the reasons for that. We're going to discuss this now. Daniel Murray is here, policy editor with the Business Post, and motoring journalist Neil Briscoe is with us also. So Daniel, these BYD superchargers, they do sound like a bit of a game changer. Do you agree? Are they?
Yeah, I think they are. So BYD, they're the Chinese firm that have surged in popularity in recent years. They unveiled their new supercharger a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of took the industry by surprise. And the new technology can apparently charge an EV battery to a range of 400 kilometres, which is quite far, in just 5 minutes. And that is a game changer when you compare it to an average of 30 minutes for normal fast chargers. And it's still more than twice the speed of the Tesla superchargers, which really would have been the next in line in the market. So as the Chinese company said themselves, this would make refueling an EV a little like pulling into a petrol station and putting petrol or diesel into your vehicle. And from that perspective, in terms of the psychological barriers for some the mass market, I think, that still remains to adopt EVs, I think it could be a game changer.
But do you know it need a whole infrastructure around this so that the 5 minutes is really 5 minutes? Because at the moment, do we have that? Could we actually feasibly have this system?
No. So, this is specific to BYD technology. So it's specific to the battery packs that would go into their cars, of which it's going to go into two new models that are coming out and so that aren't actually available in Europe and in Ireland just yet. And then, of course, it requires the charging infrastructure as well. And this would be very specific BYD charging infrastructure. And it's something that makes BYD slightly different as an EV maker, is that it has IP across charging infrastructure, battery packs and the actual vehicles themselves. So it'll be a number of years before we see these kind of superchargers rolled out in Ireland. BYD have said that they're going to roll out 4,000 of them in China to begin with. So it'll be a while yet. We do have some Tesla superchargers in this country. I think 10 or 15 of them are rolled out across the country. So not very many as well. And those being able to charge in 15 minutes plus to about the same degree. So we do need the infrastructure to be put in place for those super fast charges. And in fact, we need the infrastructure to be put in place for charging full stop,
in
even
general,
slower charges.
Because it's really quite poor, isn't it? I mean, you have the bank of Tesla chargers you see sometimes in the charging stations. There could be 9 of them, and then you'll have 1 or 2 for everybody else.
Yeah, it is poor at the moment, and it is one of the reasons why there was a slowdown in EV sales last year, is that the rollout of that EV charging infrastructure has been slower than was hoped. So ZEVI, which is the kind of the Department of Transport's office for electric vehicles, they put in place targets of rolling out up to 6,000 public chargers by 2030. At the moment, we've gone from around 1,700 2 years ago to 2,500 now, so we're still a good bit off being able to reach that target. So it has been slow, and it's being facilitated not only by the government, but there has to be rolled out by private forecourts as well. There's grants in place to be able to support them to do that, but it's not happening.
Okay, I hear Neil's line randomly beeping there. Neil, are you still with us?
I am indeed.
Ah,
yes.
Great. Morning. Okay, listen, you have had the advantage of being in a BYD factory in China. What was it like?
It's, I suppose, terrifyingly impressive might be the best way of putting it. I mean, the amount of industrial muscle that BYD has is really quite something, even if you are used to seeing behind the scenes at the likes of Toyota and Volkswagen and Ford and so on. What BYD can do, what it is capable of doing, is really quite staggering. Now, I suppose that comes with the caveat that, you know, not many labor unions in China. Their employment practices might not be the same as ours. And obviously, they're getting a lot of government subsidizing and funding from government in China, which, you know, those are issues that we have to consider. But yes, in terms of what they can actually do and turn out, it's enormously impressive.
And we know that they're subject to heavy tariffs in Europe, but are they still competitive price-wise despite that?
Yes, they are at the moment, because BYD knew that the tariffs were coming in, so they brought in a lot of stock into Europe before the tariffs were imposed. And also, in the next 18 months, they're going to be opening two European, one factory in Europe, in Hungary, and another in Turkey, which of course has agreements with the EU for exports and imports. So BYD will effectively be skipping the tariffs for the most part once those two factories are online.
Okay, I was speaking to Daniel there about whether, you know, when we get to the point when these cars are available to Irish consumers, the ones with the 5-minute charger, will we have the charging infrastructure then to be able to support them? Now, it seems from what we've been told so far by Daniel, we don't, but is it on the way?
Well, you'd have to hope it's on the way. Now, I think there's the really big part about this is not so much necessarily the speed of the charging that's going to be available. It's the fact that BYD is now talking about doing its own charging network. It's basically talking about doing a Tesla and building its own chargers and expanding them out into the markets where it sells its cars. And that's a really big move for BYD. Hasn't done this before. And indeed, most car companies do not have their own charging networks. Tesla is very unusual in that respect. So that could be a massive game changer in and of itself. Never mind the 1 megawatt charging speed, never mind the 5-minute 400 kilometer top up. The very fact that BYD will be installing its own chargers is very big news. Mm-hmm. And what they have said is that in order to make sure that these chargers can pump out that kind of power, is that they will have on-site power storage. In other words, they'll have a huge bank of static batteries buried under the ground, or you know, possibly in some kind of storage container or something next to the charger, and those batteries will be kept trickle charged, and they will then be able to, you know, shunt out that enormous megawatt power.
So they wouldn't be they wouldn't be relying on the state infrastructure at all then if they go down that road.
They would certainly be insulating themselves from it. Mm-hmm. Because getting a megawatt of power to a single charger is a heck of an undertaking. You know, you're talking about building substations, you're talking about building local transformers. I mean, even for the current lineup of very fast charging points, we kind of need to do that, and that's why a lot of them are quite slow rolling out, because we're, you know, a lot of the charging companies and providers are waiting for the ESB to build out the infrastructure that allows for this kind of power.
Okay, and Daniel, the plan is, or the ambition here is, that we would have charging stations at regular intervals on our motorway network, isn't that it?
Yeah, that's the idea. So as part of the new road network, a charging plan which was put out by ZEVI in the last year, the idea is that every 60 kilometres on the motor network, you would have some of these fast chargers in place, and that you build that infrastructure up over time. And they have announced that 131 of these are going to be put in place over the next while, and funding has been provided for it. But there's a difference between that and getting to the scale of charges. It's almost a tripling of the charging network that's needed over the next 5 years. And that's, of course, if we even manage to hit the number of EV sales over the next number of years that we're hoping to hit, which will obviously facilitate this charging network as well. So there's kind of a chicken or egg situation here going on as well, and targets on both sides from the government.
But what is the delay? Like, if the funding is in place for this, the plan is there, why is it not happening?
I think it's a combination of it's not just government funding that has to do this. It's about incentivizing private operators to put them in place. And I think it was Maxall late last year that said that because the slowdown in EV sales, they were actually not going to be able to roll out charging infrastructure as fast as they wanted to. So one is kind of begetting the other, and one is slowing down the other. So that's why the government is trying to intervene in the market and provide some of these supports so that it does scale up in time. But they have a long way to go to be able to reach those targets on both sides, the EV sales and on the charging network.
So if there's not really a commercial incentive there for the operators like Maxall, as you mentioned, the government will have to invest more in sort of neighbourhood charging infrastructure.
Yes, it would. And this includes things like kind of street charging, where you might just pull up to car parking spaces on the side of the street, or helping out with car parks where you might have charging available there as well. These would still cost people to plug into, and it would be likely the ESB that would install a lot of these. But that is another route. Now, of course, what the government would say is that the public charging infrastructure, even though we talk so much about it, it's only a small part of this, because they expect that 80% of charging is going to actually be done at home. Overnight, that cars, if you happen to have a driveway, if you happen to get an EV charging point installed, that's where they expect the majority of the charging to happen. So it's that remaining 20% that is the public charging infrastructure. But of course, it's a big barrier, I think, in people's minds.
It's a huge barrier for people who live in apartments, or people who live in a terrace house in an urban area. You know, if the government is relying on those people having chargers, they're not going to get one, right?
No,
you can't.
I mean, mean, and increasingly, actually, apartment blocks being built in cities don't have car parks at all in them. So there's just no way of actually being able to get charging points installed. And then it's increasingly difficult to get them installed if you do have a car park in a big apartment block. So those are barriers. It requires you having, if you do have a driveway, it makes the whole thing easier, you know, and also it can bring down your energy bills across the board if you manage to get solar panels installed at home. But that public charging network for that final portion is extremely important. And it's a huge psychological barrier, because even for the people who do charge at home, there's that thing about being out and about and feeling that you can just pull in somewhere and charge up. And that's why if the likes of the BYD chargers come in and you can charge in the space of 5 minutes, that begins to change things. It changes the amount of queue time you have to spend at these chargers. It changes the whole game, I think, in terms of the adoptability of these EVs.
Look, as BYD say themselves, it's like pulling in for a fill of petrol if it's a 5 minute job and there are plenty of chargers. Neil, just going back to our ambitions then when it comes to EV ownership, we know that the target was 1 million EVs on the road by 2030. We've heard about the drop off in sales in recent years. So is that pie in the sky at this point?
Yes, I think it absolutely is. I mean, you know, we sell at the most around 120,000 new cars a year in Ireland. And at the moment, we're stretching and stretching hard to try and get that up to 20% as a proportion of EVs. So just do the maths. We've got 5 years until 2030, not even 5 years because we're a bit into 2025 now. We've already had the peak of car sales for this year. There's just no mathematical way we could get to 1 million EVs on the road by 2030, because we've only got about 150,000 now.
And what do you think the barrier is? Is it the price of EVs? We know the price has been coming down. Is it the charging network?
I think, yeah, the price is definitely coming down. I think that fact is taking a while to filter into general public consciousness, because there has been this narrative of EVs being more expensive, and they have been up until now. Now it's, you know, it's becoming much more even Stevens in terms of the price between EVs and more conventional cars. I do think the charging network is the biggest barrier of all, really. I think it's the thing that makes people stop and go, well, what if this doesn't work for me? What if I need to go somewhere? What if I need to do a long journey on a given day and the network isn't there for me? And I think the big problem is that, as we've been saying, you know, 80% of your charging is going to be done at home. Great. But we're talking about 80% and 20% as if these were different people. They aren't different people. They're the same people. They're the people with EVs, and people with EVs need to use their cars, and they need their cars to be flexible and useful in the same way that petrol and diesel cars are.
There's a new, relatively new venture, isn't there, where people now can go onto an app and offer their home chargers for use by other people who want to come in and pay to use that. Do you think that that's a viable option for some?
I don't know. I think it might be useful in some cases. I think, to be honest with you, that seems to me, and I know that that was a big idea in some recent announcements. To be honest, there have been apps that allow you to do that for quite some time, and they haven't seen enormous take-up, and it does seem an awful lot like, once again, the government is going, well, this is up to you. You know, we're not going to provide the infrastructure for you to make this choice. You're going to have to go and do it yourself. It's individualizing what is, in fact, a national issue.
The other issue that might be holding people back, and you hear people talking about this a lot, Neil, is, you know, the longevity of the battery and what happens to the car once the battery becomes depleted. And if I'm using a fast charger, is that going to speed up that depletion process? I'm sure you hear that all the time, those questions being asked, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a fiction, to be honest with you. The batteries are lasting, and they're far more robust than we ever thought they were going to be. Yes, they will degrade, and yes, up to a point, fast charging will make that happen more quickly. But generally speaking, batteries are lasting much longer and much more reliably than we ever thought they would. And also, the prices of batteries have tumbled in the last 2 to 3 years. So when you do eventually need a replacement battery, and that won't be for some considerable time yet, that will be even cheaper than it is now.
Mm-hmm. And what about using a fast charger all of the time? Does that damage the battery?
It can do. It depends on the chemistry of the battery. It depends on the battery management system that's in the car. And also, if you're reasonably careful and you try not to charge above 80% threshold in the battery when you're using a fast charger, that will minimise any wear and tear.
Mm-hmm. In terms of other countries, when we look at our colleagues in the EU, Daniel, have they got it right on the public charging network?
Some countries are doing better than Ireland is. Like, famously, Norway is far ahead of Ireland in terms of the number of EV sales and in terms of their charging infrastructure. So, you know, they put a lot of the right things in place early on. One of the problems now in Ireland as well is that we've got to a point where even some of the supports we've put in place, not only in terms of charging infrastructure, but say grants to actually buy EVs, they're having to slowly unwind those now as EVs become more popular. In 2023, the government reduced the EV grant from €5,000 to €3,500. So while the price of EVs is coming down, the supports from the government has come down as well. And therefore, that's, I think, having an impact and seemed to have quite a significant impact last year on the number of EVs sold in Ireland, which were down 25% across the entire year, just as we need them to be ramping up.
But other countries, so you mentioned Norway as an example. I mean, have they moved away or are not relying on the commercial operators to install the charging network? Are they just taking it on as a state intervention and saying, we will pay for this because we know that this is the right way to go?
I don't know specifically if it is just a completely publicly funded program. It wouldn't surprise me if there was a lot of public funding going into it. But across any countries, it's going to be a lot of private operators that actually put these things in place and are supported to put them in place, because it's at forecourts really where a lot of these fast chargers are going to be, and forecourts are generally privately owned businesses. So that's where the Irish government really needs to step in and to provide that support, to have those installed at forecourts, and of course to support the ESB to provide the supporting infrastructure, because there are big electricity grid upgrades that are needed to actually facilitate the volume of electricity that's going to have to go to these forecourts if we're to have these superchargers in place.
So what's your sense of that, Neil? Are we a long way from having the public charging network there that we need on the forecourts around the country?
I'm afraid we are still, yes. It certainly has improved in the last 4 to 5 years by quite a lot, but still, you know, we're just nowhere near the capacity that we need. And it's not just fast chargers in forecourts. It's also things like slower chargers in car parks and on city streets. Because what's just as important as being able to do a fast charge en route is being able to do a charge when you get to your destination. So let's say you're driving from Dublin to Cork for an event, for a family get-together, for a business meeting or whatever, you want to be able to know that, okay, I've got this much range. When I get to where I'm going, I can plug in and the car will be full and ready to go home when I'm ready to go. And the trouble is, it's very, very hard to do that.
Right, so you're saying we need more slow chargers, like the AC chargers that will charge your car up overnight almost.
Absolutely. We need both. We you know, it's not good enough to go, yeah, great, we can get loads of fast chargers in. You know, we've got electricity everywhere. That's the beauty of electric cars. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure, technically speaking, is already there. We just need to actually be able to use it. And that's what needs to be invested in.
All right. Well, thank you both, Neil Briscoe and Daniel Murray.